Good morning, Pathways. How are you? It's good to see you. It really is good to see you. Today we're going to continue on our journey of finding rest. We have worked for the past 3 weeks, I believe, on this passage from Matthew. And today we have gotten to the part of take my yoke. I'm going to read it again for you just to refresh you in this passage, and then we'll move forward. Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30 says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Pray with me, please, church. Father God, thank you for this moment. Father, I ask now that you reduce me and fill me, so that all that is heard and all that is seen is you. Father, thank you for your word, because your word is true. Your word gives life. So give us ears to hear and hearts that are obedient. And we say this in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Okay, you see my two friends up there? Those two ox. How in the world could we be talking about finding rest when we have a picture of two oxen there with a yoke? That beam that is going across those two animals is very, very heavy. But yet, Jesus always speaking, always teaching, is asking us to wear a heavy yoke. It doesn't seem to make sense. But as he continued to reveal who he was and why he had come, he told this story. And this story would have been very familiar to an agricultural society, talking about oxen and yokes. Those two oxen are tied together or yoked together to plow a field. But why would he say that? The only reason to use the word yoke when you're talking about a human being is to imply that that person was a slave. Was Jesus asking us to be his slave? I suppose everybody is enslaved to something, their status, their looks, their way of life, their relationships, how many friends they have on Facebook, how many followers they have on Instagram, money, power, alcohol, drugs, and believe it or not, even religion. It's believed that during the time of where Jesus lived, that the religious leaders of that day had given the people, the Jewish people, over 600 laws or rules in order to live by. That had to be so devastating, that had to be so confusing, that had to be so hard, 600 rules to live by. And if you broke any one of them, you were unclean, you were unrighteous. Here's a couple of examples. You know, it was unlawful to eat a bat. Okay, that's fine. Nobody wants to eat a bat. That's okay. But it was also unlawful to eat shrimp or crabs or lobsters. So sorry, you guys from Maryland, you know, from the DMV. That was unlawful as well. They had made life unbearable. New laws had to be created for every new situation. And the way that the law was set up, the Pharisees had made man accountable to them instead of God. It reduced a person's ability to discern what was right and what was wrong, what was true. And it even created a judgmental spirit. The Pharisees kind of confused personal preferences with divine law, and it produced a lot of inconsistencies, created a false standard of religion, and it was a burden. The yoke that Jesus proposed was much simpler, and it only had two rules: love God and love others. That was his message. That's why he came. He came to give us life. He came so that we could rest, that we could rest from striving, that we could rest from not feeling like we're not enough, rest from guilt and shame, rest from the war that was within ourselves, and most importantly, the war that we were in with God. Because if you do not find the rest that Jesus was talking about, you have nothing. You know, this morning, I want to make it clear to anyone who may not have made a decision to join in the rest that Christ is offering. I want you to know that he came and he lived a perfect life, and he took on your sin and my sin. He was crucified, he was buried, but here's the best news: he rose again. And when he did that, he conquered the grave. And he reconciled man back to God. And if that is something that you find interesting, maybe it's something you've even thought about before, I'd like you right now to use the comment card, the button, the link that's on the screen, and write, "I'd like to have a conversation about that." Better still, take this moment and in the honesty and in the openness of your own heart, in the space that where you are, come to him. Scripture says that if you knock, he will answer. If you call out to him, he will come. If you say that, "Father, I am a sinner. I have lived apart from you. I've lived for myself. And I'm tired. And I'm weary. And I want to find rest in you. Please, Father, come into my life. Forgive me. And be the Lord of my life." If that's your cry today, if that's the prayer that you prayed today, use the comment card and say, "Pastor Paul, I prayed that prayer." And let's get together and chat. God made that invitation that we could enter into his rest. He came to give us life. Now, for those of us who've already made that decision, who are living with Christ in our lives. I just want to remind you of a couple of things today as we talk about finding rest in taking on his yoke and learning from him. Right now, we're living in a time that is very stressful. And we are living in a time where everyone is feeling anxious and people don't know what the next steps are. And you keep hearing things like, you know, what is the new normal? What's going to happen? Everybody seems to be tense and on edge. I came this morning to remind you that Jesus said that he has overcome the world. Yes, we will have trouble. Yes, there will be pain. But take heart, because he has overcome the world. And we can find peace and we can rest in that. The other thing that I want to remind you is that he said that his church will prevail. It has prevailed for 2,000 years. And it will continue until he comes back. Now, I don't know what the church is going to look like. All the great thinkers right now are saying, what is going to be the church post-pandemic? What is it going to look like? How are we going to meet? Is technology going to be the big thing? Are we going to be able to meet in person? You know what? I have no clue. I have absolutely no clue. I am not a prophet. But I do know a couple of things. I know what Jesus told me about his church. He told me that it would be his heart that all would come to him, and that he's patient, and he's loving, and he's always drawing us to himself. I know that he's given me a job to do, to reach out into a lost and hurting world and tell the world about him and what he's done for me. I know that he has a purpose and a plan for my life and for yours. And all of those things are going to continue until he comes back. The church will prevail. We are the church, and we have work to do. The other thing that I came to remind you this morning is that our life and our purpose are in Christ. Now, I want you to look at those two ox again. Now, as I told you, they are linked together with a heavy wood, and there are two loops that are going across the back of the neck and around the back. Now, what is it that you notice about that picture? Do you notice anything weird about that picture or those two animals? One is bigger than the other. And you get an A, Michael. Thank you. One is bigger than the other. When Christ talked about his yoke, he wants us to be yoked with him. Now, in the farming community, all of us, I'm from the city, so I didn't know this. I had to read this in commentaries. But from what I understand, when you are training a young animal, a young ox, you pair it with a more seasoned, a more experienced, a bigger ox. And that only makes sense. Now, the bigger ox, if you look at it, is carrying a disproportional amount of weight, because you can see how the harness is hanging. They say that the bigger animal is actually carrying probably 90% of the load. So really, the little ox that's there is really just kind of for show, because he's not really doing anything. It's kind of like me and Pastor Eddie. He's carrying the 90%, and I'm just like the eye candy that comes along, okay? So, in this example, Christ wants us to be yoked with him. And family, he's doing all the work. I mean, what a great deal is that? He wants you to be yoked with him, and he's going to pull the heavy load. All you have to do is walk in lockstep with him and follow him. Does that sound familiar? Follow me. Our only response to an offer like that should be, yeah, why not? I'd like it for somebody to do 90% of the work. But understand, though, that when you have a yoke around your neck, that signifies hard work. Now, again, Christ, as he's teaching, it always has a double meaning to it. He's using the words rest and yoke in the same sentence. And learn. How do you rest when you are working like an ox plowing a field? Well, it's really simple. When you are working and when you are focused on God and you are in his purpose for your life, that's where the peace comes. I point you back to the example of our brother Omero, who's in Jordan. I had no idea Pastor Clark was going to play that video this morning, so I think maybe the Spirit may have been in it. How weird is that? God had a message for us. Did you see his face? The smile on his face? That man is in a dangerous, war-torn area. I don't know if you could read fast enough, but it said that he was arrested and jailed for passing out food for people in the community. How in the world could that man have a smile on his face? Because he is yoked with Christ. He is at peace with his life and his work because he is focused in Christ. He is in the center of God's will. And family, I can't explain it. I really can't explain it. But what I know is that when you put God first and you do what he is asking you to do, and you take up his yoke and you follow him, that's where life is, that's where the peace is, and that's where the joy is. And it's a good place to be. Now, the reason why it's a yoke instead of maybe two recliners is because there's so much work to be done. Another thing that we know is in this world we will have trouble, that the poor will always be with us. Jesus came so that we may have life, but he also came to serve, and he is our model. He did not come to be served, he came to serve. So if he is our model and we are following him, that means we are to serve as well. Family, right now we are at a crossroads. I'll say simply and gently in our nation, in our world. There are people who are hungry. There are people who are unemployed or underemployed. There are people who are sick. We have a prison system that is shuffling young people from high school into the system. We have an unprecedented amount of orphans. They're widows. And we as a church are called to do something about it. We are called to serve. We are called to be Christ's hands and feet. So, I'm going to give you a next step. Because you know I always have an assignment for you when I come up here. This week, what I'd like you to do, if you've not already done this, and I'm sure some of you are scholars, and I'm sure you have already done this, but I am going to give you an assignment, and this is one of Pastor Larry's favorite things. Pastor Larry was my mentor, and he taught me how to do it. And so I'm going to teach you. I want you to learn how to share your testimony in 3 minutes. I want you to be able to tell the world what the Lord has done for you in 3 minutes. And I'm not talking about back in the day. I'm talking about currently what the Lord is doing in your life. Because when you're able to do that and you feel confident in doing that, you'll do it more often. But also, that's what we're called to do. We are called to always be able to give an account for the hope that we have. And in a world that is sick with a pandemic, in a world where people are underemployed, in a world where people are frustrated and scared and anxious, they need to know the hope that you have. You know what? Sometimes we need to remind ourselves of the hope that we have. And I promise you, if you sit this week and look at your testimony and you look at where God has been faithful to you in the past, that gives you the confidence and the assurance that the same God that pulled you through the times in the past, through the troubles, through the illness, through the death, through those things, that same God will be faithful to see you through the future. And those experiences, family, are the experiences that you need to share with others to encourage them. To let them know that, yes, this is happening, but it's going to pass, and you will come out on the other side of it because God is good and God is faithful, and that is who He is. If you're already a scholar and you have done that already and you could ride in the elevator with me right now and give me your testimony in 3 minutes, bravo. Then you're ready for the next step. Being yoked with Jesus means working for justice. It means working for the oppressed. I've got an easy step for you. And this is not a political step. Please hear me, family. This is not about red and blue. This is about heaven and hell. This is about right and wrong. This is about Jesus. But one easy thing that you could do this week would be to take the census. Now, isn't that a weird thing to say? Why would I say that? If you were to take the U.S. Census, which is an important thing to do, and then tell your neighbors and teach your neighbors to do likewise, you would be going a long way to helping bring justice and equality. How? When you take the census, that is a record or accounting of how services are distributed. So, if you live in an area like Gaithersburg, which is very a high number of minority people, chances are the resources here are going to not be of the same level as in another area of town. So when you take the census, and you teach your neighbors to take the census, and most people don't take it because of fear. They think that the government is tracking them. They think that it's about immigration and they'll be deported or whatever it is that people think about these things. It's not any of those things. It's about an allocation of resources. That is one small but firm step that you could take this week in bringing equality and justice. Now, I could stand here all day and give you a whole bunch of other examples. Saturday, they were giving food out in the parking lot. Pastor Larry here runs an organization where they give food. Our deacons are checking on our seniors and providing for their needs. We have kids. I've got two kids you could come and get and babysit. That would be ministry. And a puppy. Don't forget the puppy if you're going to come and get them. There's so much to be done. There's so much to be done. And I don't say this to make you feel guilty or make you feel anything. What I'm suggesting to you is that when you take the focus off yourself and partner under the yoke of Christ, that's where the peace is. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us meaningful work. Thank you for giving each one of us, according to our personality and our skill set, talents. Help us, Father, to develop those talents. Help us, Father, to be useful. Help us, Father, to live in the fullness of what you have for us. Because being yoked with you is freedom. And we thank you for that. And we say this all in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.